When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Because he said he did love Jesus more than any other. "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" And he answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." So Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's pray for one another. That's a great way to express our love for one another. What better thing can we do for those in need? For those in troubles, even for the nations of our world at this time. Our loving Heavenly Father, we turn to you with concern in our hearts. We are, Lord, concerned for our world and its course, the way things are going in certain places. Many wars, strife, unrest. Lord, we recognize that there are those, perhaps in certain places, leaders of nations who are evil leaders, who are opposing, Lord, the best way for their people. And so we recognize the skirmishes do arise because of that, but we also recognize there's all sorts of other things afoot as well. And in these nations, Lord, are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, our concern is for them, first and foremost, but Lord, also for their neighbours too, that they might come to know you as our brothers and sisters do. We think particularly of those who are under great persecution and pressure for their faith, that you would just be to them all that they need at this very moment. Lord, whether they're meeting in underground church situations, or perhaps even they're imprisoned, Lord, for their faith, oh, grant them to know your nearness. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and lives afresh. As Paul and Silas of old sang praises in the jail, Lord, may our brothers and sisters too know that encounter and that experience with you. Lord, for others, particularly we think of our own land, Lord, the pressures are different, more subtle in many ways, but yet many are under great pressure, succumbing to, Lord, what is going on around them. Oh Lord, help us all to keep our eyes fixed firmly upon you, to look to you, to feed upon your word, as we heard this morning, to take the time to seek first your kingdom. In these busy days in which we live, we thank you that we can still come aside for an evening hour together like this, in this place. We ask for your blessing, Lord, upon our brothers and sisters who can't be here tonight. We particularly think of dear Margaret Johnson and her situation, and lift Dennis to you as well. Lord, for others too with illness, infirmity, age and infirmity of the body. And again, those grieving the loss of a loved one, bring your comforts and strength and help. And Lord, help us to do what we can, each one of us in our own role, in our own situations. Lord, to bring blessing, to bring hope, to bring encouragement, to bring help. So Lord, we just thank you that we are not alone. We have others alongside us, but thank you most of all that you are with us in that special way. And we pray that you would be with each one of our friends at the point of their need. We thank you, Lord, for your love and compassion, far beyond our comprehension. We cannot take it in. It's like nothing that we've ever seen or demonstrated in our own lives and situations. Your love is far greater, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your truth, the truth of your word that sets us free. And we thank you that you, by your Spirit, take your truth to our hearts and lives. Touch our hearts and lives tonight, Lord. Give us fresh understanding. Remind us of what we have known of in the past. For we are at times forgetful. And Lord, we need that reminder from you. So bless your word to our hearts, we pray. Hear our prayers. May nothing hinder us from focusing upon you and spending this time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin with a question. Does authority make you nervous? If you're driving a car and you look in your rear mirror and you see a police car behind you, does your heart rate go up a little bit? I was in the school, back in the school on Wednesday, and taking the first assembly of the new year with them, talking about new year choices. But it's not that I want to share with you. It's when I saw the head teacher. She looked very pale. And I kind of went over to see if she was all right. And she said, "We're expecting Ofsted. And it's a 2-day visit." And then she said to me, "Do you want to come in if they're here?" So I have the escape hatch. I could have just jumped out and said, "Oh, well, you know, I'll leave you to it." But I said, "Well, I have done this once before with them. So if you think it'll help, I'll come in. If you don't think it'll help, you know, it's your choice." So I turned it back upon them. But the schools, everything's got to be just right. I'll go in this week and I'll see all the pin boards and the notice boards. Everything will be pristine because somebody's coming in to make an examination of what's been going on. Do you follow instructions? It's often men, it's us, isn't it, that we often get criticised. We kind of see the big pictures in the instruction pack. We don't read all the little details. We just go for the bits and start putting them together. We live in a world that's, well, I don't know, we're big on instructions, but is anybody following the instructions? God has given his instructions in his word. We call them the Ten Commandments. A recent church advertisement outside the church had a picture of two hands holding stone tablets with the caption, "For fast pain relief, take two tablets." And it really is what our world needs, isn't it? To take the word of God, the commands of God seriously. Someone said of the Ten Commandments, or in association with them, you know, if you were asked to describe the Lord Jesus in 10 statements, his character in brief sentences, you could do worse than just turn to the Ten Commandments, because he is the personification of them. The fulfillment of the law is found in him. And indeed, the opposite is true. If you want to see the world, what is the world? It was Martin Luther, I think, in his table talk that said, "The world is nothing but a reversed Decalogue, the Ten Commandments backward." Because idol worship's rife, life is cheap, you know, and all the rest of it, relationships are broken, and it's all because the commandments are not kept. The world is God's law unfulfilled. Jesus is God's law fulfilled. Well, in the passage that I read to you, Jesus sets a new command before his disciples. Now, I perhaps should have read the previous couple of verses. Let me read them now. Verse 31. "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. This is because Judas has gone to do what Judas did, and things are moving on towards Calvary. But in those verses, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, but also as God's Son. The two come together in those verses, for he is both. The Son of Man seeking to save the lost, serving, washing their feet, but he is God the Son with them as well. And in that latter role, he gives this command, because you know, if you know what the Bible says, we're not to add to the commandments or take away from them. So, but Jesus is not out of line in what he's saying, because he is God the Son. He's exempt from such a restriction. So he sets before them a new command. But unsurprisingly, this command is an encompassing command of all the other commandments. Love one another. And I want us to look at that tonight. Love one another. I'm only going to begin to look at it. But I want to think first of all about this encompassing command. It gathers together all the strands of the commandments that were given before. Love. Love one. Love another. Love all. Love one another. You know, there was a wonderful work done, wasn't there, in Saul of Tarsus's life, in his heart. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, persecuting the church, you remember, transformed and turned round. And though he was still a human dynamo, with, you know, a man of action, he was a man of love. And for me, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14 is such a precious verse in the light of his testimony. Hear this. This is what the Pharisee of Pharisees, who once learned all the rules and knew all the law, you know, knew everything, the law to protect the law and everything else, as a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says, the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. He comes to that conclusion, the importance of love. He's been on a long journey in his Pharisaic studies, but he comes back and he strips it all away to this bottom line. As the Lord Jesus had said previously, love one another. Now, many, as I say, don't care for rules these days. We are in a very rebellious age. People do what they can, what they have to do. More to the point, they do what they can get away with. Many choose to ignore instructions altogether. What's the point? But, you know, God's law is not like man's rules. Sometimes, you know, man's rules just go on and on and on, don't they? There's, you know, all the red tape, all the rest of it. What is the point? Sometimes you can understand the frustration that many feel. But God's law has a purpose. The purpose of the commandments is something that we should understand. Not cold, hard rules, but love is behind the commandments. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, he's laying down the law. All right. And when you hear that said, the impression's not of a nice, a loving action, is it? He's laying down the law. It'll be somebody raising their voice, slamming down their fist and telling you what's what. Is that how we see God's law? You see, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. There's no change at half time. It's the same God. God's love is behind God's law. When you read of the Ten Commandments, do you remember how it begins? I am the Lord your God who must be obeyed? No. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery? Grace, rescue, mercy comes first. God's love for his people. The law comes after that, but it's through a heart of love, rescue, wanting the best for his people, that those commandments are put in place. And obedience is the response of love. As Deuteronomy 7 says, those who love him and keep his commands. It's a framework, a demonstration for us to show that we love God. It's part of the relationship. And for us now in Christ, now set free from our sins, we still love that law because it is God's best, what God wants for us. And keeping it, we show our love for our God. But when I think about the Ten Commandments being given, and then I think about the command that was given here in John 13, it's a bit different, isn't it? The presentation of the commandments for Moses and those Ten Commandments, Sinai, cloud, fire, mystery, majesty. And here, Jesus, perhaps still even with having had a towel wrapped around his waist, in a loving, informal setting. I mean, the two are so different. How those Ten Commandments were given and how this new command is given. Here is meekness, serving, loving. But Jesus is both the law giver and the law keeper. There in the Old Testament, access was denied. The mountain was cut off from the people. They had to stay at a distance. But now, Jesus is about to make access available for us. He's our living way, isn't he? He's the way that we can draw near. So he gives this command. And as I say, it's an encompassing command. It takes up all that's gone before, because love is in all those commands as well. An encompassing command. But as I read it, and I read it again to you, it's an extraordinary request. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As so. Because I have shown you, this is the way you must love. However long you've been a Christian, you will not yet have grasped the depth of the love of Christ for you. Nor the width, the breadth of love. And the more you read the Gospels, and the more you just marvel on every page at how Jesus deals with others. The compassion of his life and ministry is, well, immeasurable, incomparable to anything else anybody's ever seen or will see. His death on the cross, those hours, again, the measure of the love is, well, it's beyond measure. Now, as Jesus' followers, we are linked to other followers, aren't we? We're a body, the body of Christ. We're a flock following a shepherd. We're the army of the Lord. We're living stones built together. The Christian life is a shared life. I think I mentioned to you on my honeymoon, we went to Austria and I saw a wayside chapel for one. And at the time, I was sorely tempted to move from where we were in the West Midlands and take that pastorate for one in Austria. Of course, it didn't have a pastor. It was just people passing by on the road to stop and pray. But church is not for one. It's not for me. It's for us. And through us, to the glory of God. Have you noticed the number of one another's in Scripture? David picked up a little bit on this morning. We haven't met for a while because of the Christmas, New Year time and David being away. But So encouraged this morning. We're on the same page on this. One another's. The need to love one another. Now we have in our Lord the perfect example. Of course, he's more than an example, but don't miss the point that he is the example as well. He demonstrates so wonderfully these one another's. I just want to mention a few this evening, just a couple. There are so many more. But in Romans 15, verse 7, we're told to accept one another. Accept one another. And one of the amazing things as you read through the Gospels is that so many would not accept the leper, of course, because of his disease. You know, the noisy blind man shouting out. Everybody wanted a nice, quiet, easy life. And the problem people could go away. Still the same today. But not Jesus. He's always going into the crowd. He's always stopping, turning, bringing people to himself. Accepting them. Not giving them a tick box form. Are you the right height, the right nationality, the right whatever? Even the Canaanite woman got crumbs off the table. Accepting. Praise God, we have an accepting Saviour. We don't have to jump somehow through hoops, climb mountains, you know, crawl along glass pathways, or some of the strange practices. Simply believe. Just reach out in faith to him. I read that passage about Peter. Because there's a situation of Jesus again accepting his friend. Making contact. He'd gone fishing. A solitary thing, or perhaps just with a few others, but just to get away from it all. But Jesus is there with him. Calling him to himself. Yes, accepting that he's made mistakes. I'm not for a minute saying, let's just love one another and, you know, truth has no part in it. We speak the truth in love. But we are to accept that this is a broken world and we do need a Saviour to make us new. We needed it. Everybody needs it. Some maybe a little bit more broken, seemingly, than we were, perhaps, when we came to faith. But that makes no difference. Greater glory goes to Jesus as he fixes and puts together what has been broken. Bear with one another, says Ephesians 4, verse 2. Jesus bore with his disciples, didn't he? Peter's blowing hot and cold. You know, I'll lay down my life for you. There's nobody more committed to you than me. And then he crumbles like a meringue. Falls apart. But Jesus bears with him. He'd already seen something in him that he would be a rock, that he could build with this man. So he bears with him, accepts he makes mistakes. And of course, Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another. As you yourselves have been forgiven in Christ. Jesus forgave those who caused him pain. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That included what I did to him, what you did to him on Calvary's cross. I don't think for a minute Jesus was immune from the pain that Peter caused him in the denial. He shared our humanity. That must have hurt. That must have stung. Yet he forgave. The love of Christ. Accepting, bearing with us, forgiving us. It's the wonder of God's grace towards us. Well, that's the love of Christ, but what of the love of Christians? Peter's call to feed the lambs, take care of the sheep. And even feed the sheep. The responsibility increases as he's restored. As Jesus reintroduces him back into service. Greater responsibility for the Christians, for the church. He'd fled after his denial. Now he was back. But perhaps he was still feeling bad, and that's why he has to be restored in this way. Jesus restored him to serve others, didn't he? And we've been saved to serve others. It's what the Christian life is all about. We've been saved to love one another as Jesus has loved us. But do we accept people? Do we forget the lengths to which the Lord has gone to accept us? Are we quick to dismiss people who are different from ourselves? Do we bear with one another? Are we the only ones who can make a mistake? And as soon as we see any mistake in anybody else, we jump on it with a ton of bricks. Do we forgive as the Lord has forgiven us? Remember the conversation Peter had previously about how many times should I forgive? 7? 70 times 7. Until keep forgiving until you can't remember how many times you've been forgiven. This is the love of Christ. This is the love he wants us Christians to know. The potential of this is world transforming, isn't it? If you think about it. Love like this is a love that the world does not know. But it's a love that we know and can show to those around us. We can love as Jesus loved. He would not have asked us to love him this way if it was impossible. He's given us his example. More than that, he's given us his Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, as you know, is love. And everything else within it, but it's love. So the potential is there within your heart and my heart. As we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and constantly rely upon him for love in the situations that we face. There's an encompassing command and an extraordinary request. Love one another as I have loved you. Love sacrificially. Love completely. Love in the small things. Big things too. Love with all that you are. And there in verse 35, it's an evidence of discipleship. All men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now there's an amazing verse. That love should be the badge of the believer. Not power, love. You might have thought, Acts of the Apostles, Acts 2, you know, we can tell you're Christians because you're healing the sick, because you're setting the people free from demons as a Christian. But Jesus says, no, love. Now, that power and ministry of healing and all the rest of it is within the love. But by your love, all men will know that you are my disciples. I don't think there's anybody on this planet that doesn't think that the world needs love. The Beatles sang it, didn't they? All you need is love. But unfortunately, their source of love was anywhere but from the Lord. Other songwriters have asked the question, well, what is love? Because they're so frustrated that they can't find it in this world. Where is it to be found? There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. The love of Christ, his love. God is love, as the scripture says. The love of God has been made known the Spirit of God puts love in our hearts so that we can share that love with those around us. The world needs to know and to see that love of Christ. When you think about outreach, reaching our community, there are many things we could do, all sorts of plans and programs, but without love in them, they're just plans and programs. It has to be from the heart, doesn't it? As I say, when it comes to accepting others, making contact with others, yes, people are different, very different from perhaps us here in this place tonight. But the other things, the difference is they can be sorted later. But without love, we won't even get a hearing. If they can't see that we care, then people will just think, oh, they've just got a different way, a different idea of how to live. And we have, but let it not be such a narrow way that we can't reach out and show people a better way in Christ. It's a sign to the world, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. But there's a surprise conclusion to what Jesus says here. I mean, if it's not a surprise enough that he says, love one another as I have loved you, you know, their mouths perhaps dropped open at that thought and that point. But all men will know if you love one another. It's that little word, if. Why doesn't Jesus just say, all men will know when you love one another? But no, if. He's reminding us we have a choice tonight. This loving one another is an act of our will. It's not just something that happens. We're going to fit a machine on the way out through the door. You just walk through it and suddenly, you know, your eyes light up and stars are around you and you go out with a ready-breath glow, loving people. That's not how it works. But God's Spirit within us, as we surrender ourselves to him, and the will to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to love these people in your name. Even those perhaps enemies of Christ, even those who perhaps, you know, verbally, physically abuse. The Apostle Paul, this man who had such a great intellect and understanding of all the rules and regulations, and came to that stunning conclusion, it's all about loving your neighbour as yourself. Went and did it. Went through storms, went through troubles, went through beatings, went through all sorts of things, but did it. The love of Christ compelled him. Now, yes, he spoke the truth of the gospel. He didn't just go and be a nice person. Because if we love people, we'll tell them the truth. That's an important part of loving people. But the love of Christ compelled him to go through the pain and the difficulty, the barriers, the troubles. The Holy Spirit led him, and the Holy Spirit will lead you too, if you desire to live this way. If you say, Lord, my will is your will. My will surrendered to you to love as you have loved. You know, when Peter realized it was the Lord, back in John chapter 21. Well, first of all, when Jesus said, let down the net, they let down the nets. But then when they saw it was the Lord, Peter jumps in, doesn't he? He jumps in. He literally couldn't get there quick enough. He believed and wanted to be obedient. He had believed before, but had been disobedient. But now he wanted to start again, to do it Jesus' way. I wonder this evening whether you would jump in and love one another as the Lord Jesus has loved us. Amongst our own fellowship, we do have a loving fellowship. So don't feel I'm, you know, berating you. I'm not. I'm very blessed myself by your love. I hope you're blessed by mine. I know it could do with, you know, working on. As for all of us, let us love one another. As David said this morning, let us be, you know, the church that is known for our love. But let us not just leave it in these walls, in this place, but let us love beyond these walls as the Lord leads us and guides us. Let us share that love with others. If this evening you're feeling short on love, and that's understandable in this world, do you know where to go? Come to the foot of the cross again. Come to Jesus. Come and receive his love. Rely on him to see you through whatever the situation is. We live in a love-parched world. And it is hard, but not impossible. For Jesus gave us the command. And if our wills are committed to him, we can love one another as he has loved us. It's a bit scary. It's a bit scary because it's beyond ourselves. But the Lord will not let us down in this, neither in the supply of love or in going before us to help us. Love one another as I have loved you. Remember, it's made up of all different facets, love. Accepting, bearing with, and forgiving. Three parts, but there's many, many more. I may bring a few more in the weeks ahead. Because I want to look at this in the round. So that our love is what it should be for one another. And our love is seen. Not that people might say, wow, look at them, look at us. But they might see Jesus and his love in our hearts and lives. Amen.